This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumor of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." And now I'm going to add two more verses to our gospel lesson. They come immediately after what we just read. Jesus continues by saying, "But watch out for yourselves. For they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an email that's been going around the internet for a while now, and maybe you've seen it. The title of it is, "You Had One Job." And the whole email is picture after picture of someone who had a very basic job to do, but then just messed it up royally. And in your bulletin, I put three of the ones that I especially liked. And do you see it sort of in the back of your bulletin? Do you see these? You had one job. And you got to love the idea that here in the picture of the can that has just a picture of peas on it, someone has put corn. And you had one job. Get those Fig Newtons in the package, but somebody put one going the wrong direction. But maybe my favorite one is this one of the white line painted on the road. You had one job, just paint a white line to show the edge of the road. And there's nothing wrong with the way that the line is painted, but whoever was painting it just didn't want to stop long enough to move the tree limb out of the way. So, of course, they paint around it. You have one job, paint the white line. But you blew it. This is what my son Matt would call an epic fail. Our lessons, in their own way, especially when you take those two additional verses that I added to our gospel lesson, tell us what our one job is as followers of Jesus and how we can avoid an epic fail in our responsibility as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I wonder if maybe you've noticed something kind of neat that's been going on in our readings as we've approached the end of the church year. You did know that we are approaching the end of the church year, didn't you? Actually, it ends next Sunday. And as we've gotten closer to the end of the church year, our readings have been pointing us towards the end times. Did you catch that? Today this is absolutely clear in our lesson from the book of Daniel and also in our second lesson from Hebrews. And then that gospel lesson from Mark chapter 13. It's known as Jesus' little apocalypse. And in it, Jesus is very obviously describing the end of days. The way our lessons are put together, they're telling us that it's appropriate for us at the end of the church year for us to contemplate this idea of the end of days. You know, in Jewish thought, it was a brand new idea that the Jews kind of introduced into the world, is that time was linear and that sooner or later God was going to bring history to a close by sending the Messiah, the Anointed One, this divinely appointed king or leader that would come and vindicate Israel. Messiah would come, reestablish David's throne, and usher in a day of judgment. And this judgment would come against everyone that opposes the kingdom of God. As a scholar N.T. Wright says, Messiah would come and set the world to rights. The oppressed would be free, sinners judged and punished, and the righteous just lifted up. Divine justice would be the order of the day. And then after the judgment, there will be real peace. This great Jewish word, shalom. But we know that the time leading up to the arrival of the Messiah would be one of great turmoil. And don't we see that in our lessons today? Daniel speaks of a time of anguish. That doesn't sound good. In our gospel lesson, Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars. And he may have been thinking about that war that's described in Ezekiel chapter 38 between Gog and Magog. This turmoil, this time of turmoil includes earthquakes and famines. The world's just an absolute mess. But Jesus tells us that these are just the beginnings of the birth pangs, that the end is still yet to come. Scripture refers 22 times to this apocalyptic, fearsome day of judgment as the day of the Lord. And as we're thinking about the end times at the end of the church year, I'd like us to expand our thinking just a little bit on it. I'd like us to consider more than just this ultimate day of the Lord that's out there in the future that we may or may not be around to see. And there's another story, also from the book of Daniel, that I think is going to help us do that. And you may know the story. It's the story from Daniel chapter 3 of the fiery furnace. And Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love those names. I think this is such a good story to help us and remind us of this one job that we have as a citizen in the kingdom of God. You might remember this story. It's about these three devout Jews and how they refuse to serve the pagan gods of Babylon, and how they refuse to worship the golden statue as King Nebuchadnezzar decreed, passed a law. And of course, this gets them into big trouble with the king. And so he orders Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be thrown into this furnace that's heated 7 times hotter than it's normally heated. In other words, they were facing their own personal apocalypse. And what I like about this story is that it reminds us that sooner or later, as we live our lives on this earth, that we are all going to face our own personal apocalypses. Our own personal times of turmoil. Our own personal fiery furnaces. The way that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego handle their personal trials is very consistent with the way, as God's people, how we're encouraged to handle the trials that we'll face at the coming day of the Lord. And you see this, they face King Nebuchadnezzar in that fiery furnace with boldness and with faith. From that story, they say to the king, if we were thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. There's just absolutely no doubt in their minds that God is able to save them and to rescue them. And they tell this flat out to the king. But to me, it's what they say next that's most remarkable. Did you catch this? They tell the king that even if God does not rescue them, that they're going to hang on to their faith. We will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are telling us that the one job we have, and this job applies whether we're facing our own personal fiery furnaces or that final fearsome day of the Lord, that one job is just to hang on to our faith. This story of Daniel's friends ends up with them being tied up and thrown into the furnace. And if you know that story, what's amazing is that there is a fourth figure that shows up in the furnace with them. And that figure is described as someone looking like a son of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego emerge from this furnace completely unhurt. Their clothes are not even singed. The only thing burned were the ropes that tied them up. As Christians, we read this story and we identify that fourth person in the furnace with those three as Jesus. He's there with us in the midst of our most terrifying trials. And we need to look for his presence during those times. The stories from Daniel tell us that our number one job is to hang on to our faith, and that we can feel the real presence of God even while going through fiery trials. What I love about the readings from Hebrews and Mark is that they tell us how to hang on to that faith. And they both anticipate that as followers of Jesus, we're going to face unrest, whether that unrest comes at the end of the world or just in our own everyday lives. The author of Hebrews puts it so beautifully and so eloquently. He says, "Let us approach with a true heart and in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." He's saying here that we can face our trials, that we can actually come face to face with God with true hearts, confident that the Holy Spirit has cleansed our hearts. Did you catch this? Through our baptisms, by being washed with pure water, by being adopted into God's family. When we're among the baptized children of God, we are in that place where we feel what he calls this full assurance of faith. What comes next makes this promise even more explicit, I think. Our faith is secure and we can do our one job of hanging on to it because God in Christ is faithful to us. The passage says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful." Christ is faithful to us. And then finally, in that last line in our reading from Hebrews, we're given the how all this takes place. It takes place as we gather together as the family of faith. It's here we read this. He says, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds." We do that here. Even in times of turmoil, we're supposed to respond as God's people by encouraging others to do acts of love and good deeds. And somehow, as the people of God, we're supposed to provoke each other to do acts of love and good deeds. And there's nothing negative about the word provoke here. It simply means that we're to stir up each other and encourage each other. And so whether we're facing our personal trials or the world is falling apart around us, the people of God are supposed to respond by doing good and loving one another. Because not only does this action solidify our faith, it draws other people to it. They see that we're not going to respond to trials the same way the world responds. And it's this final how we're supposed to hang on to our faith that's mentioned in this last passage from Hebrews that I think is the most important. We hang on to our faith. Did you catch this? By not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we're facing fiery furnaces, we hang on to our faith by staying connected to the community of believers so that we can encourage one another. And if you're wondering where our gospel lesson fits in to this whole thing, it's right here. Jesus says, even when there's turmoil and chaos going on in the world, the first order of business and the gospel must be preached to all nations. The first order of business for the people of God is to proclaim the gospel. Real followers of Jesus will be brought forward. We're going to stand in front of councils and synagogues during these times of chaos. And for His sake, we witness to the power of God. And the way we speak, the way we live, ends up being a testimony about what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. It's different from the way the world lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'll leave you with one last thought. Our human tendency is to pull away, to withdraw to ourselves during times of trial. I've seen this happen time and time again among different communities of believers. But when we do that, when we pull away and we go off on our own, or we just withdraw to ourselves, we're vulnerable. When we're on our own, our faith can suffer. We can get all too close to that epic fail of not hanging on to our faith because we're separated from the people of God. So as we approach the end of the church year, yeah, it's good for us to be thinking about the end times. We're reminded that in those days we're going to face worldwide turmoil. It seems like we are right now. But we know that as the people of God, we're going to face our own personal fiery furnaces. And our lessons today teach us that our one job, you have one job, just hang on to your faith during those times. These lessons today teach us how to accomplish that one job by staying connected to the community of believers. Our faith has a chance to grow and even be strengthened, even as we face fiery furnaces. We avoid that epic fail by not neglecting to meet together, by encouraging one another, by provoking one another to good deeds and acts of love, and by always proclaiming the gospel with our lips and with our lives. Thanks be to God.